Welcome to the Shutdown Full Jam.
Yeah. The Shutdown Full Jam.
The Shutdown Jazz Full. Yeah.
You don't have a Duke Silver in your life, do you?
No, and I'm completely devoid of any jazz. You know, when they say, hey man.
No, he's Timothy McVeigh's Duke Silver.
Jesus Christ.
What? That's not even the worst thing I've said today.
That is...
But it is on this show because it just started.
That is the...
No, the worst thing I said today is I called Spencer a Bloomington 12 right before we started recording.
So, that is Corey's version of the Shutdown full cast theme. Hey, thank you, Corey.
What a come up for a guy named Corey.
I know.
You really overcame some adversity in the name department there.
I'm glad you have a little bit of jazz in your soul. I have none. Absolutely none. If you want to know what music my soul lacks in entirety, it's jazz. When I hear it, I'm like, I don't even recognize that as music. This is the internet's only college football podcast.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to it. We are a production of BannerSociety.com. I'm the first to shout us out. I will take another Twinkie for doing the bare minimum of what I'm supposed to be doing after the show. That will top off. That'll be my second dessert tonight because I tried something that I had been looking forward to trying for at least 3 weeks when I found out it existed. That's right. They have cheesecake at Cookout. It's way down in the lower right corner of the menu, but they have cheesecake. And I tried it. And you know what? I'm really glad that there's authentic North Carolina cheesecake in Atlanta to be had.
North Carolina invented cheesecake.
It's true. It's the home of cheesecake.
Vinegar-based cheesecake.
For all of 45 cents.
It's like 380 calories, and they'll put anything you want on it that they put in a milkshake.
Wait, what do you mean? Oh, in a milkshake. I was like, you can get a chicken tender cheesecake.
You probably could.
I mean, you probably could.
Can I get a quesadilla with a cheesecake and then another quesadilla?
And put it, yeah, you could get a cheesecake quesadilla.
It's cheese, ain't it?
Yeah, I will report back and tell you that it is delicious because it's cheesecake, y'all. It's cheesecake. I don't.
You know, I'm just happy before we did this podcast that you were like, yes, let's dairy up.
Let's make sure that he's good.
I'm the one that has to record with him.
Make sure that he's good and deranged before he gets on here. If you are a person who can eat an entire Cookout tray and then eat a piece of cheesecake, you might be a Viking. You might be a Highlander.
Cookout tray is tiny. Come on.
Or you might be 22.
Come on.
Let's
push that to 2 Cookout trays.
Yeah, but Jason, you're on the snake diet, right? You just eat like, you'll eat like 2,500 calories at once and then not eat for 2 days, right?
I have.
Yeah.
So I eat like a caveman, and then the Silicon Valley dorks came along, and everyone is like, "Oh, if you do that, then you know you are a tech libertarian warlord." And it's like, "Fuck, they've ruined that too." So now I got to go back to eating 3 square meals, just so everyone knows I'm not like a weirdo trying to turn their blood
man, you work on the internet, nobody watches what you eat. You can just say you're eating.
Yeah,
you can perform it.
I'm gonna lie about eating. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll say sure, no, I'm being a very good normal Twitter lib. I'm eating 3 square meals,
definitely not eating 800 frozen taquitos at once for the week.
Yeah, definitely not crazy. Eating one large meal and then not eating a meal later. Then I'd be Elon Musk. See, ew, I hate that guy.
What I try to do is I try to simulate the caveman's chasing of a large animal and devouring of it, and then days of famine after that. So what I do is I make an enormous elk out of taquitos, and then I tackle it and eat it in my lawn.
And that's how I got the idea for Cybertruck.
Cybertruck, our sponsor tonight, selling animals made of cheap frozen goods. So you can simulate the thrill of the hunt without any of the unnecessary blood or gore.
For him.
Does Cybertruck remind anyone else of the Texas Longhorns in, like, every way?
Go on.
Like, way too expensive. Mm-hmm. Does it work? Arrived with much fanfare for no clear reason.
Backed with blood money.
Cost way too much money. Like, you you can't even own it in Texas because you're too poor.
Delivery will be delayed several years.
Yeah, it'll get here when it gets here. You know.
Yeah.
It's super tough. Then, you know, throw a... If you throw a rock named Kansas State at it, right?
Yeah, throw a Baylor at the window and... Oops.
Oh, we'll fix that. Don't worry. That won't happen next year at the very same time.
Again. And again. I am looking, by the way, at our actual show notes. We do have show notes. I think this is the... Is this the fourth week in a row we have show notes?
We always have show notes. I make them, and then they always get roasted as if they don't exist. I make the show notes. I make show notes every week.
This actually might be the third time Spencer's looked at the show notes, I think, is what he's unintentionally...
They didn't exist before I looked at them 3 weeks ago.
babe, that's object permanence.
This is
an object permanence issue.
This is my long way of saying that I want to tee Holly up for the only news that you need remember. We will discuss what happened in the week that was in college football.
This is not a good save on your part.
But...
No.
But, okay, save or not...
Before you do,
yes.
I want to tell Jason, I have a little personal advice for Jason. I understand, on a deep personal level, the urge to take credit for the work that goes into this podcast. I need you to know it will only backfire online.
So now
this might be the first time in history that anybody has blamed Jason for anything going wrong on this podcast. I kind of want to see what...
Well, the thing is, so Ryan will always be blamed for the audio, whether it's Ryan's fault or not. Now, what I would like is for any time the show is appears to not be hewing to a specific path, I want that to be considered my fault.
Oh, well, we're both fucked. Congratulations.
No, I'm joking, because there was like, what was it? I think it was like Bud saying like, I can't believe they do this without a plan at all. And it's like, well, kind of. I mean, we have sketch marks, and I do those.
Again, I would just advise everybody. Holly has the right attitude here. If anybody is ever like, hey, I think Holly's at fault for the full cast, she could be like, I'm playing Nintendo Switch. Clearly I'm not, you fuck face.
No, it's okay, because the one dude in our Reddit who was convinced that I had undermined everything last year has now moved on to Richard in the PAPN Reddit. Weird.
Huh.
Anyway, I have some news.
Go on.
Rutgers week continues for, what, the fourth straight week?
It's always Rutgers
here
week.
On Banner Society.
It's rivaling Scott Frost Day.
I know. It's up there with Scott Frost Day. Rutgers Week continues on with the revelation by reader Jeff Amy. I think this is his name. He's got a dude and a lady in his avi, so I hope that he is not sharing a Twitter account with your girl. That's weird. Don't do it. But after Ryan's unholy unveiling last week of the existence of Rutgers Chief of Police Kenneth Kopp, Jeff Amy brings to us this week is that Yazoo County?
Yeah, we'll go Yazoo.
I'm going to call it Yazoo.
Okay.
Mississippians, you can reach me at 38 Godfrey. He's one of you, and it's his fault. I don't know anything.
No, they already know that. Shit.
No, I know. They already have his contact information.
So Mississippians, while you're screaming at Godfrey,
while
anyway,
you're yelling at Godfrey about other things, yell at him again for not learning me up better. Anyway, I'm dragging this out as
Godfrey was the one who told Ole Miss that they should just keep Matt Luke. I have it on record.
Oh yeah, that happened.
Yep.
Anyway, Yazoo County, Mississippi has a sheriff. The sheriff's name is Jake Sheriff.
Wow.
You can see his webpage on yazoocounty.net/sheriff, in which contains a note. The note is signed Jake Sheriff, and underneath that it says Sheriff.
So he's Jake Sheriff, Sheriff.
Sheriff, his name is Sheriff, Sheriff!
Here is one of the saddest things about this. He is, I just Googled Jake Sheriff because I was like, oh, he hasn't put a picture up. I wonder what he looks like. there is a famous cricket player named Jake Sheriff instead. He's the undercover Jake Sheriff.
Yes.
See, he should fall in love with Kenneth Kopp. They should get married, and then he can be Jake Kopp Sheriff. Or Jake Sheriff Kopp.
Yeah. I think it's they Sheriff, can name Sheriff
their
Kopp.
Yeah, they can name their first child Deputy.
And their dog's name is Senator.
Or Major Sheriff Kopp.
This makes me want to make like a database or something of the world's most Metal Gear names in real life. Yeah. Like I think the most Metal Gear football name I've ever seen is Puma Pass, Louisville quarterback.
Yeah.
Because you got a wild animal and then you got the guy's job.
Right.
That's pretty good.
You know.
Holly brought up that Chase Young is also a very good nominative determinism.
We were talking about this in the Slack, and we were trying to figure out if he's, because you know, as we love football players whose names are simple sentences, and we were trying to figure out if Chase Young is the only player whose name is also a simple sentence that is also his on-field mission, and nothing quite fit, because you know you can't quite have the kicker whose name is Blew It in there because his job isn't to blow it. But then somebody hit upon one that we had not actually considered: Orlando Pace.
Huh. Yeah.
It's close. It's still not as good as Chase Young. Much like anyone else playing football right now, you're not as good as Chase Young.
Jake Sheriff.
This concludes Rutgers Week for today. Tune back in next week for Rutgers Week. Jason.
God, that's foreboding. Rutgers Week continues.
Now for something completely different. Let's talk about teams that are going to bowls.
Yeah. Actual good team, yeah.
So we're trying out this thing early in the show where we do promo zone, where we
it's like a where podcast.
we remember
get in the zone,
promo zone,
the promo zone Liberty Bowl, where we remember to actually talk about our work like they do on professional podcasts like PAPN. Holly, of course, is a proponent of Rutgers and all things Rutgers, such as Mississippi Sheriffs.
I'm a lifelong Rutgers fan. Yeah.
So I wanted to mention in the bowl projections page that I update each Sunday morning at BannerSociety.com, as well as Tuesday nights these days, how I am still clinging to the notion that the Utah Utes are right in this thing, despite Oregon losing, which to me is a stupid, fucked up reason to discount Utah from the race, because they beat the team that beat Oregon, meaning there should be no value lost or gained from this, in that they beat both sides of the equation.
What law is that? That like matter can neither be created nor destroyed.
Yeah, that's law of matter. That's Godwin's law of the universe.
Jake Sheriff Cop's law.
The only law I acknowledge. Jake Sheriff's law of the universe. Universe cop.
There are at least three of my science teachers that I know listen to this. This is called the confirmation of mass energy. It was discovered by Antoine Lavoisier in 1785. Do not at me.
It's part of the work of Dr. Jean-Claude Van Damme, better known as Time Cop.
Y'all, if you're from Oak Ridge, don't yell at me. Don't.
It's fine. We're gonna do a whole Bernoulli effect episode one day.
That's not a...
It's called Murphy's Law.
I'm good. Yeah, it states that actually that all matter is created by Nazis on the moon.
Yeah. And it also, just like any college football argument involving Oregon burned or getting burned, is called the Mallard reaction, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. I just wanted to say, listen, Oklahoma, you thought Oregon going down, that's great, it's time for you to jump Utah. How about you beat somebody by more than 4 points?
Well, I have a solution
Before you go and draw down on Bama. I appreciate Oklahoma being incredibly entertaining, but stay out of the Utes' way, okay? Utes got this. Let's leave this to the Utes, this whole playoff thing. That's all I wanted to say.
So you're saying we need Oklahoma to beat somebody by more than 4 points?
It'd be nice.
Have I got a game for you?
Well, they could beat them by 2 points.
Very true.
They could beat him by 3 points. Mm. They could beat him by 80 points. You just never know what you're going to get when it comes to Bedlam.
Throw out all the record books for Oklahoma.
The most the most overly branded game in all of football. Total anarchy.
Which is saying something for Oklahoma.
Which is saying something for a game named after a famously corrupt and horrific mental institution.
Whoops.
What?
The other thing I wanted to promo of ours is a FCS playoff bracket. Hey, Division One has a football playoff of more than 3 games. It starts this next week. It's great. You should, well, this week won't be great, but the rest of it'll be great. You should watch a lot of it. It's better than the fucking Arizona Bowl and whatnot.
Not better than the Banner Society in New Mexico.
Than the Banner Society in New Mexico Bowl. That could have a team as good as Western Kentucky in it. So
shit.
Yeah, man. They beat Arkansas, so
they gotta be good.
They gotta be really good. That's a former Southwest Conference team, brother. So our coverage to this point of the FCS playoffs bracket, featuring the official FCS team of the Shutdown Fullcast Kennesaw State Owls, who are stepped down this year, but still have the son of Rick Steiner, is Division I's greatest fullback, toting the rock for us.
The Shoney back.
What we did is we made a mascot fights bracket, and I wanted to run through it real quick. We sent it out on Twitter earlier, and it is going out in the newsletter on Monday morning. I wanted to have y'all pick the, let's say it goes to chalk and we go to the Elite Eight with just the seeded teams or in the Final Eight. I wanted to run through these matchups with y'all, all right?
Okay.
Based on seeding, if you give extra bonus army size to the higher seeded teams, we would have, for instance, 24 North Dakota State Bison would be facing 17 Bears from Central Arkansas. Who you got?
Bison.
Yeah, I can't pull against the Bison.
It's also a numbers advantage, which is important when your animals are that big.
Yeah.
How bad are the Dallas Cowboys at that point? Because I think that affects how angry the Central Arkansas Bears are.
Well, they lost today.
Yep. All right. Then give me the Bears.
Okay. next up, the other side of this bracket, we have 21 Hornets from Sacramento State against 20 Montana State Bobcats.
That's not that many Hornets.
No, it's not insufficient Hornets, I agree.
It's like a handful.
An insufficiency of Hornets.
I'm going to go.
I think they will kill one of the Bobcats, but I don't think they'll get them.
But they'll only kill one of the Bobcats if they like converge on one Bobcat.
Are Hornets one of the ones where they can only sting once?
No, they can sting a lot.
They reload. I'm going with the Hornets.
And they're mean as shit.
Okay.
Like, they're going to my girl one of these Bobcats, but...
I like that this is also the Charlotte NBA game somehow.
Question here is, how does a Bobcat kill a Hornet?
It eats it.
Swats it with a paw.
Well, that's not going to kill a Hornet.
If you swat it good, it will.
Are they these big... I'm going Hornets because they can reload, and I know cats. And do you know what cats do not have? Stick-to-itiveness. They don't. The minute
That's true.
Cats are many things. They are lethal. They are quick, majestic, all right? Smart, powerful. But do you know what they are not? Gritty. Cats are not gritty. Cats are like
a compelling argument.
Yeah, they sleep like 23 hours a day. Do you know what a hornet does all day long? Yeah. That's why the Panthers got one good quarter in them, y'all.
What a hornet does all day long is contemplate murder.
That's all they do.
Okay.
But so does a cat.
Then it gets tired and has to sleep, right? A hornet.
But with the cat, it's just contemplating. The hornet is going to execute on it at some point.
Yeah. So I'm going hornets.
This is a good argument, Spencer.
Hornets. I'll go hornets.
Thank you.
Nicely argued. On the other side, we have 23 Royal English Bulldogs from James Madison University versus 18 Jackrabbits from South Dakota State.
This is a hell of a Christmas carol.
This is amazing.
Yeah, these Bulldogs are going to have a heart attack chasing Jackrabbits around.
Exactly.
This one's easy for me. Jackrabbits for sure.
13 Terriers from Wofford, 12 Religious Warriors from Furland, 9 Great Danes from Albany, 8 Southeast Louisiana Lions, 19 Grizzly Bears, 22 Wildcats, 18 Jackrabbits.
And one Saluki from Southern Illinois.
No, they didn't make it. They were the snub.
God damn it, Spencer.
Everyone, no. I think what Spencer's referencing is they were the snub team everyone's pissed off about.
Yeah.
Yep. Finger on the pulse, as usual.
I like this matchup because, like, I think the Jackrabbits win.
Yeah.
The Jackrabbit is big and tough and mean.
That, yeah, those hind legs got you.
Yeah. I mean, one bulldog will get, like three bulldogs will get one jackrabbit, and the rest of them are going to kick the crap out of them and give them heart attacks.
I don't know that they're going to move fast. Heart explodes. I don't know if the bulldogs score a point here.
Also, they're royal bulldogs, yeah. So they're like, people do this for us.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I think jackrabbits might just run the bulldogs to death, but like this may not involve any hand-to-hand, paw-to-paw combat whatsoever.
Wow, a bulldog team that moves ponderously and slowly.
Nope. We're moving on to the next topic.
Stop it.
We agreed we weren't going to do this.
Spencer's just talking JMU, that's all.
Normal. Anyway, 22 Wildcats from Weber State versus 19 Grizzly Bears from Montana.
Grizzly Bears.
This seems Grizzly Bears.
Utter annihilation.
Yeah, slaughter.
This is the only part of the bracket where I'm like, I don't see how we can argue.
Squash match. You
know? Yeah.
Okay, so in the, let's see, the semifinals, we have 24 Bison from North Dakota State against a handful of Hornets from Sacramento.
Before we continue on in the bracket, can I throw in one upset possibility that would raise a very interesting specter? Which is, if the 17 Bears from Central Arkansas meet the 19 Grizzly Bears from Montana, and they would have to do so in the final. Mm-hmm. But if they get that far, who you got?
Why isn't it just simple math? 19 Bears versus 17
also
Bears.
The Grizzlies are bigger.
Yeah, wow. Grizzlies are bigger. I'm gonna go with the Grizzlies.
What
there.
What manner of bear are the Central Arkansas Bears?
Oh, they're definitely black bears.
Yeah, they're regular black bears. Okay. So yeah. The Grizzlies will have like 100 pounds per bear.
Bear lore.
I may or may not have thought about bear versus bear combat a lot.
I hope one day an FCS school realizes this is how we pick the FCS bracket and changes their mascot, where they're like, we're the Mecha Elephants now. Fuck you. Mecha Elephants with helicopter blades on them.
We're the Beyonder from Marvel. He's more powerful than Infinity because he has his own universe. Yeah. And he makes like Iron Man fight Iron Man in his own universe.
Central Arkansas got themselves a gray field. They just might.
Oh boy.
Anyway, Jason. The
Hornets can like damage the Bison, I guess.
Yeah.
Are they even going to notice, though?
I don't think so. Get them on the nose or something. No, that's just going to make a bison mad.
Yeah, and honestly, their skin's so thick and they encounter stinging stuff all the time now.
Just like us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I'm sensitive.
I mean, this might be the kind of thing where is this kind of thing where the Hornets, like, they get credit for finishing the game, but, like, they don't actually score, you know? I don't know. Something like that. Bison win that round. Oh, God. Okay, 18 Jackrabbits against 19 Grizzly Bears.
Grizzly Bears.
This could get interesting,
Grizzly
though.
Bears.
No, the Bears will just wait.
The Bears are never going to outrun a Jackrabbit.
This is an OT game, and I will tell you why.
This is an OT game that goes into OT 0-0.
Yeah, because bears won't chase the Jackrabbits, because Jackrabbits can't dent the Bears. It ends with a kick, and that's the grizzly kicking the jackrabbit.
It ends
into...
with a kick, and that's the jackrabbit, which has the most powerful hind legs in the animal kingdom.
Proportionally, but not directly. Yeah, I'm going with the Bears.
I don't know, man. I gotta go. I'm going jackrabbits.
Ryan, who you got?
Grizzly Bears. Okay. If I went up to a child and I was said, hey, we're gonna put 18 jackrabbits and 19 grizzly bears into an arena because it's fun, they'd be like, don't do that. That's brutal. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, because they'd be like, the jackrabbits are too. Yeah, they would say, Uncle Ryan, the jackrabbits are too good at kicking and special teams.
That's true. Yeah. I'm bad with children.
Can I give you one?
No, the jackrabbits are gonna beamer ball this
before we. Before we get this to the next matchup, let me just say, you said 19 grizzly bears, and my first thought was, oh God, that'd be horrible. 19 grizzly bears is like the definition of thing I don't need in my life. Somebody's like, yeah, there's 19 grizzlies outside. What do I do? That's a bad...
But... You live inside now.
Put on a pot of tea.
Yeah,
ask them what they'd like to drink.
Get out the old banjo and washboard. I understand they're fond of jamborees.
Yeah, this is clearly a jug band waiting to happen.
Try to become one of them. You're already halfway there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen
coat yourself in bear scent. That's what they do in the movie.
I've seen that movie, literally, and it doesn't end well for me.
It ends great for us.
A lot of it goes well before that.
Oh yeah, the guy from Star Wars made a movie about that.
Yeah. The bear movie is a lot funnier than the Star Wars movie.
The guy from Star Wars.
Yeah, I saw him in Star Wars, and everyone was excited about it. So I looked him up, and it was like, oh, cool, he made a bear movie.
It ends with
it very ends. I hope somebody is very confused and is like, did Billy Dee Williams make a bear movie?
These bears are the smoothest bears in the forest. Colt 45.
In your final, we have 24 bison versus 19 grizzlies. God, in Frisco, Texas.
If the jackrabbits aren't going to get him, I don't think anybody will.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. It pains me because I love both.
The numbers are too close there, and bison ain't got claws.
Yeah, but they work together. Bears aren't big on teamwork.
Yeah,
they really are. They're the mascot that really like. Tigers are the only mascot that
Spencer,
really
I'm
is like.
Stop you right there. Respectfully, I think that your bias is clouding your vision.
Probably.
Wow. Spencer likes bears too, though.
I do. I'm very fond of bears, but I will say.
There goes Spencer's bear privilege once again.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean what you think it means.
Grizzly. Oh, it would be grizzly man, wouldn't it?
Are you a grizzly man or a grizzly mant?
I will go and say that I'm going to go with the bison because they're going to survive. Bears, they're at the top of the food chain. You know what happens to those at the top of the food chain? They're dependent on those below them, and if they work together, they can survive and overthrow. So, yeah,
tisk,
I'm going bison.
Tisk.
I gotta go grizzly bear still. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
19 of them outside. So, like, I can't come to work today. Why? There's 19 bears at my house. God.
What? Yesterday they were 18.
Also,
astronaut comes back in, cocks a gun. New bear.
Bears on it.
Bears on the moon. Spoiler alert for the newsletter, which is already out as of the time you hear this recording. I'm picking the bison for the reason Spencer said, teamwork.
Wow.
Yeah. Why don't we just cover FCS? It's like better mascots.
I say this
all the time.
Yeah.
I would love nothing more than to ignore all of
you know what would not be an issue if we just covered FCS? Our inability to get the Pac-12 network.
Huh. Yeah, that's true.
Well, we couldn't.
In some ways, it'd be a more accessible sport.
I was going to say
that's really true.
We would miss at least one or two of FCS's victories over FBS every year.
If we were diehard FCS fans, we'd miss a couple of our greatest conquests.
Damn.
We would never have to watch Notre Dame.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm done. Sold.
Or USC.
Or UCLA. Or most of the Big Ten. Until they accidentally schedule North Dakota State.
And we still get to watch a lot of SEC football.
I don't know. This is perfect. A lot of Florida State on my schedule.
Let's see. We have Ryan.
I have a few quick updates to the bold predictions game.
Please.
That are a couple that are coming down to the wire that are still in flux. Alabama loses two regular season games. Obviously, the Iron Bowl is the opportunity for that one to flip one way or the other. No California teams in the Pac-12 championship is still technically on the line, although it's looking increasingly likely that it will clinch. The all-California team Pac-12 championship was eliminated at least a couple weeks ago. And Les Miles and or Mack Brown make a bowl game. Mack Brown and UNC dominated Mercer to get to win number 5. So if they can beat NC State in their last game of the year, this one will cash as well.
Woo!
Yeah.
I only want to say that, again, thank you, Corey, for the theme music for the Shutdown Full Jazz version of the Shutdown Full Cast theme.
I'm Billy Dee Williams, and here are 19 bears playing jazz flute.
Colt 45, when you're in the woods...
Here are 45 Colts.
There are 45 Colts. and my Colt 45. And this bear has consumed 45 Colt 45s. How you feeling, bear? And the bear's like, smooth. Yeah, that's if there was the yeah, the bear would be playing the flute. Thank you, Billy D. Also this week, I believe coming up, I'm going to have a piece on BannerSociety.com, which picks, I think I wanted to talk about the cruelest rivalry in all of college football, the one that is currently, and I think, the most nightmarish streak of complete dominance by one team over another in varieties of punishing ways that there are blowouts and there are close games, and then there are ones in between, and then there are long periods of nothing but pain and suffering for one party in this particular rivalry that is coming up this week. And it will be about the Virginia Tech UVA rivalry. Is Photoshop involved? Of course, because I'm an artist.
Also this week, making it even more cruel, there are stakes. The winner wins the division and very likely the Orange Bowl bid.
I know how this is going to go.
Oh, man.
Virginia's going to... All right, let's agree right now. Virginia will have the lead in at least the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
And Virginia Tech will win.
Yeah. Okay. Virginia Tech will win. I think they're stuck in one of those cycles where it's going to come in close and then they're going to lose by 17. Right?
Sure.
I think
I'm going to go with it's incredibly low scoring. So the only postgame story is just Bud Foster. Like Virginia, your best team in like 10, 15, whatever years, all anyone remembers is that you got, you know, Bud Foster held you 3 points.
Yeah, also, both teams are trending in exactly the wrong direction for UVA to have any hope in this whatsoever, just in terms of overall play. I think UVA was, you know, playing a little bit better earlier in the year, certainly probably a little healthier. And Virginia Tech, meanwhile, we were going to fire Justin Fuente 5 weeks ago, right? He was finished, donezo, and now it's, yeah, I don't know. Kind of got this thing turned around, y'all. It's
looking bad.
Do you
think a rivalry like this should have sort of a cash the briefcase element where it's like one or the other can say, now, strike, attack?
No, because Virginia would be all like, oh, this briefcase isn't nice enough.
Oh, yeah.
My dad's briefcase is way shinier than this. This isn't real leather.
My briefcase holder, Charles, has misplaced this briefcase among my
Charles
other
Pitt.
Briefcases.
You may know him, Charles Pitt.
Charles Briefcase.
Meanwhile, Virginia Tech, every time UVA wants to do this, is like that clip that people use on Twitter, the WWE response line. Hold on, minute, player!
Virginia Tech's briefcase is just full of roast beef.
Virginia Tech's briefcase.
It's the lunch pail. Yeah.
That's right. That's amazing. Right.
The lunch pail. That's what's in it this whole time.
That's not supposed to be like enticing, right?
That's what's gonna.
It's got Mike London's soul in it.
That's what's gonna happen. Is they're going to unveil what Bud Foster's had in it all those years. He will reach in and pull out a rusty gun. It's a gun.
And then we'll eat it piece by piece.
What do you think? Bud Foster wasn't gonna come to the stadium strapped. He's seen trouble.
It's a chicken fried gun. It's delicious.
Frank Beamer's
I
like,
think inside of
that.
I bet what he has inside of it is another lunch pail.
No, just ever smaller lunch pails.
Yeah.
Just into infinity. Let's say, oh God, Bud Foster's got the secret of the universe. It's just in the smallest of those lunch pails, and you have to open all of them. No one's ever done it without going mad.
Can so that's the end of our intro. And now it's time to discuss the college football Saturday that just occurred.
I'm told that I need to say something about another coach that we were going to fire all season.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. I know. Oh, God. I know. Hang on. I'm using it to telescope out to a larger point because I don't want to focus on this game either. I did not watch Saturday's Tennessee football contest. As our friend Bomani says of the Atlanta Falcons, I have quit that poison. I've got that poison out of my system. And Today, I happened to catch a replay as I was doing many other things, getting ready for Thanksgiving, and I was walking back and forth, and I would just catch, like, snatches of sound. And I walked through, and this game was being called by Jordan Rogers, who I cannot remember if he was the one, the Bachelorette, and Tom Hart.
He was.
Okay,
he was.
Sure. And Tom Hart, whom you may know as a former Atlanta Braves person, who I have always thought to be a generally sensible and good-humored sort of person. So I was extremely confused when I was walking through, and I thought I heard him say Red Hot Tennessee. I was like, well, that's weird. That's probably a visual pun. And I just kept on walking. And then about 30 seconds later, I cut back through the living room, and I swear to whatever long dead, now awakened Egyptian gods you want to put before me, that one of them said Tennessee was the hottest team in the league. Now, I don't know if they meant FBS football. I don't know if they meant the SEC. I don't know if they meant the SEC East. But all of those things are wrong. And
it's not, they're not even the hottest team in the state.
No! So anyway, then I turned the game off. But apparently we won. Why does this keep happening?
Factor
what,
one.
Do we have, what on earth kind of smoky blindness has set in here?
Factor one, the same thing happens every single year. Tennessee's schedule is historically front-loaded as hell.
Correct. And Alabama forms a kind of fulcrum to Tennessee's schedule, which generally has Florida and Georgia and at least one, like, serious-ish non-con opponent up front, and a back schedule that invariably includes Vanderbilt and Kentucky and some weirdly overmatched little team.
Correct. And with the addition of Missouri, and Missouri being rather weak this
that
year.
That has not always saved us
no,
in that game.
No, this year in particular, it does bolster the schedule that Mizzou is not quite as strong as they have been.
Didn't win very far.
Mm-hmm. So with that, people always forget that Tennessee manages to the second semester of the year, always a much easier course load.
It's always been very helpful. Well, it's good and bad, right? Because it's never boded well for early season games, because getting up to speed in, you know, week three for Florida has historically been very tough for this team, but also in the back half of the season when the team is limping and half of them are injured, just like most other teams, it enables you to cover that up and coast on down to a nice little Music City Bowl. And that's one thing. One reason I believe this team has been to as many bowls as it has, because it's pretty easy to, like, skate into the Belk or the Outback or whatever when your last four games are not a cakewalk, but about as cakewalky as you're going to get in this conference.
Yeah.
Anyway, I checked to see if it was some kind of visual pun with steam rising off the head of Smokey. It's not.
The thing that annoys me about this kind of thing, whenever it happens with any team, is that people forget about expectations. Like, the reason everyone theorized that, you know, Jeremy Pruitt was going to be gone, AD's taking over, all that, is that the back half of the schedule was lighter. Everyone knew this was the case. So when it happens, we don't have to be surprised. You know, we don't have to, like, overly praise Tennessee for winning the easy games. We knew all along that these were the easy games.
So great news.
Like, when you come into the season, when you say this team should be 10-2 or 5-7 or whatever, and you look up and they're 9-2 or 5-6, don't act surprised.
And I thought this was going to be a 3-9 team that now has the potential to be an 8-win team if they get through, I don't know, the Belk Bowl or something. But the bad news is Jeremy Pruitt's still going to be coaching this team.
But you've hit the nail on the head. Like, the reason why in some circles Tennessee is a hot team, or Jeremy Pruitt is a, like, coach of the year candidate.
Who said that?
It's because lots of us thought they were going to be a 3 or 4 win team, and they're probably going to win 7 games.
Yeah, but we thought they were going to be a 3 or 4 win team because they lost to fucking BYU and Georgia State. That happened during the season.
That's true.
Yeah, that was Jeremy Pruitt's fault.
I agree.
those games count.
But sometimes the best way to make yourself look good later is to fuck up early.
I think that applies.
I don't know, man.
If you fuck up in 2018 and then you're good in 2019, you get credit for the bounce back. If you do it during the season, I'm sorry, you just had an okay season.
Ryan actually kind of hit upon what's really bothering me right now. This is a team that is very used to fucking up early in the season at Florida and Georgia, not at goddamn Georgia State at home.
Yeah. I mean, there's no giving. You don't give somebody the coach of the year. You don't give somebody an award for fixing the problem they created. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, I adore Tom Hart. Don't yell at him online. I don't have any feelings about Jordan Rodgers whatsoever. And I have never bought into... I don't think that the producers were whispering in this broadcasting team's ear and saying, be sure to pump up Tennessee football. I am concerned that their drinking water has been dosed with something and would like them to be screened by medical professionals.
The good news is, for week two next year, Tennessee plays at Oklahoma.
Fuck me.
That'll go great. That'll go really good. What if we bailed out of the SEC East and talked about Arizona State?
Hey, yes! Perfect.
That's right. Let's talk about a real team.
Let's talk about a real football team.
An actual red-hot team.
A team that has the same record as Tennessee.
A flaming hot team.
And the same record as Texas, we should say.
Or Kentucky.
See, that's much,
or
that's
Kentucky
much
or Illinois.
That is so right? much funnier.
Or Washington or Liberty or Charlotte. Or Illinois.
Shout out to the Charlotte 49ers, by the way.
Yeah.
Ball eligible,
live,
baby.
Shut down full cast attendees. Now possibly going to the, I don't know, Bahamas Bowl or something. Shout
That's
out
right.
to Charlotte.
Charlotte, you have the same record as Washington, and they went to the playoff a few years
Charlotte,
ago.
Charlotte, you were as good as the Texas Longhorns. I mean that.
Maybe better.
I'm trying to say that as a compliment.
On a per capita basis, they're way better.
Yeah. Arizona State.
That is
Oregon. Failed to consider you.
Never fail to consider Arizona State. Don't. And if you want to know, by the way, the one moment where this game completely turned and got competitive and stayed competitive was Arizona State stopped them on a 4th-and-1. And I am so loath to praise this moment, because it is exactly the kind of moment that defense-first coaches love and insist make things happen. And it's the one that people who are very, very conservative would also point to, that, oh, you went for it. You didn't take the points. You went for it. Yeah, they should have gone for it. And yeah, relying on your defense worked for once for Herm Edwards. But you know what else Arizona State did? They passed for like 9,000 yards. Don't look that up.
Yeah. Daniels is out there dropping dimes, man.
Yeah.
And like, the thing with the punts to me, if I watch like an NFL coach, like some dumbass like Dan Quinn, or if I watch, you know, one of the college coaches who it's like, this guy's a great recruiter. You know, when they make the stupid punt call, I'm like, oh, this is dumb. This is dumb. When Herm does it, man, I know he believes in it. I know he is putting his soul into that punt. And I'm like, yes. Fuck yes, I'm right there with you. It's like when Rod Gilmore says, I would punt here. I'm like, God damn it.
That's right. That's your ethos, man. That's your ethos. That's in your marrow.
You can't change who you are. That's right. Yeah.
That's right. You.
Like, I know this is the wrong idea, but I know you believe in it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I know you think that you're actually kicking so much ass when you punt there, right? Like,
it's kind of the counter Leroy Jenkins.
It's when you.
Wow.
G-Roy Lincolns. What are you doing? Staying right here, waiting for orders.
Disconnect.
It's when somebody folds at poker so hard they like slam the cards through the table, right? Like, what are you doing?
I think you're the dragon. That, you're the dragon that Leroy Jenkins attacked.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no, y'all show aggression. I'll just sit right here.
Yeah. I will wait for you to come to me. This was a game, by the way, where Justin Herbert made some really weird throws. I don't even say like bad throws, because bad throws implies.
Excuse me, future Denver Bronco.
Just a giant. Big giant trebuchet of a quarterback, you say. Hmm. Questionable decision making, also huge. Oh.
I can't stop thinking about our joke about, I forget which one of y'all said it, about John Elway takes one look at a tall quarterback and says, wow, this guy's almost as tall as me.
He is. Like, they could be like a 7'5", and the quarterback is 7'5", and 305 pounds, and he would go, man, that guy is almost as big as John Elway. Like, John Elway, I think, Do you think John Elway believes that John Elway is the size of an actual Rocky Mountain? I do. I think, like, if he were filling out a form.
He has a very specific form of body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull out a very deep cut here, but have any of you ever read to the very end of the C.S. Lewis Chronicles of Narnia series?
Yes.
For a long time ago.
Okay, do you remember the non-Aslan lion? The second lion?
Vaguely.
There's this second lion who shows up at the last battle who's not Aslan, and all this lion does is run around and be like, I'm a lion, like Aslan, did you know? And he's like visibly smaller and not as glorious as Aslan, but he's like, hey, yeah, me and Aslan, him and me, us lions. Anyway, John Elway.
Yeah. John Elway on Jeopardy under the category mountains for 800. It would be...
mountains.
Yeah. What is... It would be the tallest mountain in Colorado, and he would be like, boop, boop, boop. Who is me?
Who is John Elway?
Who is John Elway?
Who is any of us, really, John?
Yeah.
Hey, John, we just need you to put your put some personal information on here. Okay, gender, Megazord. So
big.
I identify as large.
I don't need a big and tall store. I do need a tall and tall store.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler is the second tallest mountain in America, next to me.
That's how he thrives in altitude, because he was so used to walking around with his own elevated skull.
That's the thing with Justin Herbert in this game. It just made weird throws, man. Not even like bad ones where you thought, oh well, he saw this and he instead did this. No, he's like his two picks just, I don't know, donations, right? Wanted to make it spicy, wanted to make it interesting. Just threw it right to the defense. Not a game he will want to remember. A game so weird and bad that announcers during the game were saying, yeah, today probably cost him some money, which,
oh.
Yeah, it's a very perverse way to look at things.
That's before you consider that none of our jokes,
however, come close to the funniest real thing that happened associated with this game. And that's after the final whistle.
Right.
When Herm Edwards at the midfield handshake says to Mario Cristobal, good luck in the playoffs.
I love this, because if literally any other college football coach does this, you say, wow, what a dick. If Herm does it, you just say, oh, he thinks he just knocked him out of the divisional round to the wild card round. He thinks Oregon's a wild card now.
We have spoken about this before on this show, about Herm Edwards getting to the end of the season and being like, hey, we got a bye week, or?
No, that's weren't joking.
We're 9-7.
That really might have happened.
Once again, we have spoken this into existence, and we're
sorry. We are going to the Sun Bowl round of the playoffs. Where we'll face a very exciting Wake Forest team.
Do you think Herm gets confused when they play a bowl game? Like if they were to go to, call it the Belk Bowl. If they show up and they're like, why is there not a North Carolina team here? I thought we were the road team.
So
this playoffs weird.
I think what happens is after they play.
We're playing the Panthers.
Tell Ron Rivera hello.
So I think what happens is they have like a minor bird protocol, right? And after, if they win their bowl game, they have to put Herm in a very dark room until it's time for them to practice for their season opener next year. Because otherwise he's just going to keep prepping and prepping for the next round of playoffs that are going to never come. But as long as they keep like a blanket over his head, they'll be like, shh, nighttime.
Oh,
nighttime.
They actually don't even tell him it's a bowl game. They're just like, yep, on to week 14, boss.
Yep.
Here we go. And then we got a bunch of bye weeks. Don't worry about it.
Yep, this team lives in El Paso. That's why we're going there.
They just make sure he has a lot of very soothing music, low lights, maybe a water feature in the room. And they just let him sleep until August.
They just play the Fox NFL theme real low.
The injury theme, like the lullaby version of the injury theme.
Yeah.
Right.
So the other possibility is that Herm knows exactly how this all works, and he also knows that he can get away with being a dick because we'll just say, "Oh, Herm's confused. He didn't actually mean that."
I will say two things. I don't believe this is true. I desperately want it to be true.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Good luck in the playoffs.
So just Herm sitting in like a very, very like Herm sitting in a chair in a dark room with that theme music playing. This is now my like, this is now my relaxation
theme. But like a music box version of the Fox injury theme. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is our next full cast theme request.
This is what I'm going to think about in meditation. Oh,
we need full cast theme injury mode.
Music. Yeah, injury.
I think that's the jazz theme we started with.
Okay. Yeah. This is the injury mode episode.
What an amazing time in the chronology of this show to find out we have this many middle school band directors out there in the audience. Every and middle no school band else. Director I've ever known was an incredibly violent and angry person, and I respect all of you.
More reasons to consider Arizona State are presented every week by reality. This game in particular was a bounty of them, not just for Herm Edwards saying good luck in the playoffs after the shake, a thing that actually happened, but this is a 6-5 team. And they're real happy about how things are going. If they beat Arizona, they'll be 7-5, and everyone at Arizona State will say, hell yes. Hell yes. This was a really fun year.
How do you get there? Because I got a 6-5 team, and I'm just confused.
Right. You could go to Arizona State and instead get 6-5 and think,
yeah.
Life's pretty good.
Well, it's also great because they fired Todd Graham, who was essentially doing exactly this.
Yes.
And they were like, yes, this is much better.
What are you going to do? We're going to have a visionary shakeup of the athletic department where we'll have 8 sub-managers and 1 brand manager named Herm Edwards who oversees the football aura of the athletic endeavor that we refer to as the Arizona State Spirit, here symbolized by this devil flying on the wings of a giant tarantula hawk.
Holy shit.
And you know what the results will be? The exact same thing we were doing!
But now we might go to the Red Box Bowl.
That's right. It didn't exist before, you'll note.
Yeah, yep, so all of this basically just equaled the same record. I refer you to the visual of the Sun Devil on a tarantula hawk. It's different now.
Venture capital!
We've talked about a lot of my favorite pets.
Maven.com. Should we move to, now that we're 53 minutes in, move to item 3 on our list?
Yeah. Mine is very quick. So, Ohio State, sorry if I'm not going to overreact that they only beat Penn State by 11. Like, if you force 3 fumbles and recover them all and they're all like incredibly ill-timed for Ohio State and you still never lead during that game, I'm not like really going to worry about it. I was curious though, so I looked this up. Ohio State is currently leading the nation, scoring a little over 49 points a game. Points per game, not a good metric, but it is helpful for this. On the year, Ohio State has 1 defensive touchdown, 0 kick or punt return touchdowns. Like, watching this team, you just... watching this team, it is not... It is, like, considering how good they are on defense, you just watch them go out and just do the thing they want to do. Nothing illustrated that to me more brutally than the first drive they had of the game, where they go 91 yards and score a touchdown. They chew up about 5 minutes of clock, and they do it with 12 runs and 1 pass, which was an incompletion. They decided on the first drive on offense against a Penn State defense that's, you know, everybody's been talking about, they can really shut down the run or whatever. They ran the ball 12 fucking times and moved 91 yards to start the game. That's great. I love how rude that is.
It's insanely rude.
They do whatever they please.
They are insanely rude. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, that's the best matchup they'll face because Michigan is not made to deal with that. They are not.
You know the cruelest thing that's happened to Michigan this week is that people have decided to work out the insanely unlikely math journey by which Michigan beats Ohio State and also, quote, must be considered a playoff contender. Like, people have found a way to take this Michigan team, which is playing much better.
People, our own Alex Kirshner did this. He asked this before Saturday was even over, if he could try this.
I know, but he I don't think he did
enough credit for being meaner than any of us.
Well, in Alex's case, it's also like he wants to find every possible, he's like Doctor Strange. He needs to find every playoff permutation possible. Mm-hmm. But I think everyone else is just being rude and trying to add stakes, add pressure to Michigan fans that they don't possibly need.
No. Tack it on there. You beat Indiana. The sky's the limit. Does this segue into my report from Michigan, Indiana?
I believe it does.
Yeah, reported from Indiana. Since I attended the,
you were there for like 6 hours.
I was in the state of Indiana for. Let
me, Spencer. Did you glimpse into the soul of Indiana? Did you understand what it's like out in those cornfields or whatever?
Have an elevated tolerance for dairy.
Out in the coal mines of Indiana.
I did drive by Owensboro, Kentucky. So yes. I've seen the coal mines of Indiana. They're all. It's just Kentucky mining under the state line, right?
Out in the meth mines of Indiana. Spencer Hall's reporting on the political climate.
I understand nothing of Indiana. I talked to many Indiana voters, and they all agree. Ouch. Help. Please don't make us play Michigan again. In the best year in Indiana football history. I'm just going to say that, by the way, because the last time they won this many games was 1993. They will probably win more with a victory over Purdue, which is, I hope, all but certain, because the most painful Indiana thing would be not beating this Purdue team. However, I will also say this. Indiana football, a few notes. Their stadium. If the Big Ten were like a high school, like if there were like Big Ten High, right? This sounds like the worst Disney-style show on the Big Ten Network, right? Mm-hmm. Big Ten High!
Looks like fire in the sky.
Yeah, there's Nebraska. He was really good as a freshman, but no one likes him as a senior.
Nighttime.
Big Ten High! Nighttime. The stadium in Indiana would be the stadium for Big Ten High. It's like a high school stadium if the Big Ten made it. It's really nice. It's perfectly lovely. It's very, very teeny and small, which means you have a great vantage point to watch things like Shea Patterson throwing 5 TDs on your defense, because Michigan, though Indiana has improved, is still a much, much better football team. Also, they beat the crap out of Indiana's offense pretty hard for most of the game. That's why they only scored 14 points. Other things I understand about Indiana, I don't know. The sky was raining ice and you were losing by 20 when I left. That seems to be a pretty accurate summary of the entire Indiana football experience. But, hey, met Connor from Homefield, met a lot of people who turned out, Lolo Finarski from Twitter, among others. Lovely people, lovely time. Weather straight from a Soviet nightmare.
We heard from people who were there who were native to this part of the country that the weather was so bad that many Indianans did not come to this game. Yeah, let alone our poor delicate Georgia magnolia blossoms, Spencer and Godfrey.
Yeah, Godfrey in that weather, by the way, looks like he's about to start telling you ominous things about the future of your family in the prologue to a spectral drama, right? Is that
good?
No, it's not good.
Okay.
Like, I showed up and it looked like Godfrey was like, I know you. No, you don't. Yeah, I'm Death. Hi. I'm going to show you how all your friends die.
Yeah, he's got a big, he's always had big all your friends are dead energy.
In Indiana, it's tripled.
He looks like the highway patrolman who has to come to your house and tell you your dad's dead and they can't find all the parts. And he's not going to be particularly sensitive about it. Mm-mm.
Godfrey gives you the first side quest with all the exposition.
He really does have grim side quest energy, right? That's, I'm the
where
guy.
It's like, you're probably not leveled up enough for this one.
Hey man, Vault 47. Yeah, it wasn't built right. We're all sick. Anyway.
Ryan, you have.
There's a lot of money in Mississippi.
You have provisioner of goods. That's your video game role, right? Like when you roll up, mm-hmm. You're the guy who's like, welcome to the market. Would you like some
wares for sale?
Would you like some Hylian mushrooms?
I always thought Ryan was that dude in Sim City who tells you you're fucking everything up and everybody's mad at you.
I'm the deranged transport secretary, right? You'll regret this. You cut our funding.
No, Spencer, you are the you are a wild animal attack in Red Dead 2 from nowhere.
That's so sweet.
Out of nowhere. You. You're just like I was playing blackjack and a panther attacked me.
Red Dead 3 better have that, right? Like, hey, partner, would you like to play some Domino? Ah!
Spencer, I think you're legendary moose.
Bear at bar. Like, if you pulled up to it and nobody mentioned anything. My favorite, I think the guy that I identified most with was the old prospector in Red Dead 2, the one that you run into in a bar and he's yelling at everybody, and it takes you, like, he can't win the fight, but it takes you 15 minutes to knock him out, and other people are sitting there at the same time as you're doing it going, man, that old man could take a beating. Why don't you put him down yet, man? And the guy's like, come get some, ow, God.
I'm Iowa football.
By the way, the Indiana Hoosiers, the only time they have finished ranked in my lifetime was 1988.
And they were so.
We're going to do it this year, though. We're going to do it this year, boys.
Like eight wins, eight regular season wins and a bowl win. And we can still live the dream of nine Windiana. It's still there and it's still possible.
And the last regular season game is Purdue?
Yeah.
Okay.
I see no way this could go horribly wrong.
Yeah. Hey, we're choosing to invest in Indiana football. How could we lose?
Uh-huh. let's see. Should we skip ahead to a team that can lose, which would be Arkansas?
Yes. Please.
I think the only content anyone ingested from this game was Coach O after the game saying, like, oh, we don't celebrate beating Arkansas. They ain't beat anybody in a long time. And that's the last thing he had to say about Arkansas. And then it came out that his players didn't even take the enormous, somewhat hideous, somewhat beautiful Golden Boot trophy off the field, just left it there. They just fucking civil conflicted Arkansas.
This is the second week in a row they've done that, right?
They just, yeah, LSU is living clutter free.
This trophy does not
Coach
spark.
Coach Kondo.
Yeah, Coach Kondo say this trophy does not spark joy.
I like this as a wrestling metaphor. Coach O took Arkansas's quote unquote best shot. Like, Arkansas hit him with, like, the late flurry of offense, and Coach O just stood there.
Yeah.
Coach O ain't going to sell no offense by Arkansas.
You're going to have to hit harder than that, boy.
There was a story where the Big Show was facing the little guy, and the little guy was like, all right, I'm going to jump off the ropes and hit you. And Big Show's like, you can try it. and dude tries it during the match and just bounces off of him. Show's like, what? I don't know what you expected me to do here. That's LSU in Arkansas.
For those of you who have made it this far into this episode, I would like to reward you with what I would argue is the funniest thing that happened this week in college football. It is that Miami, in the midst of losing to FIU, got throat slashed by a kicker after an extra point that was not particularly important to the proceedings.
And not really an impressive extra point either. Not not that there is one of those things, but yeah, it was a pretty routine extra point. He was like, yeah, Jack the accountant over here just filling out this form and just telling you, yeah.
Throat slash. To make things worse, all of this was happening at Marlins Park, which is where the Orange Bowl used to be. And here are the other teams FIU has beaten this year. New Hampshire, UMass, Charlotte, UTEP, and Old Dominion. That's it.
He's having a good time in there.
This is how you know FIU was destined to win this game. They won the only stat battle that matters. Miami, 6 penalties for 65 yards. FIU, 14 for 126.
Disgraceful, Miami. Disgraceful.
You know what?
This was, I'm sorry. Kicker, Florida International kicker throat slashes the Miami Hurricanes at a basically home game is the best thing that has happened around University of Miami football this year.
There was also, after the game, it came out that an FIU player was saying around campus, like during practice, that in the week, they were referring to the Canes as the University of Coral Gables. They were saying, nah, we're the real Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like,
I'm sorry.
I don't know if FIU existed like 20 years ago. I don't know, but here we are.
Let's make it worse. Who's FIU's head coach?
Well, it's Butch Davis.
That's correct.
Which I forgot until way after this game.
This is like Butch Davis's light retirement work is beating Miami. That's the second worst insult that I can think of about this game is that Butch Davis, the guy who was the architect of, you know, all of the recruiting that got them the best two rosters maybe of any college football team ever. And now, 20 years later, that team is like his light, I need boat money work, right?
Yeah, but could Butch Davis's kicker have throat-slashed Miami without Mark Richt's players?
Wow.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, it gets worse, by the way.
Oh, good, I'm back. Okay.
Here's a stat from the Bear on College Game Day. With a loss to FIU, Miami becomes the only team in the last 40 years to lose three times as a 14-point favorite in a single season. Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, and FIU. That's hard to do. Like, this means you're pretty bad, but everyone knows how good you could be if you weren't so bad.
Yeah.
I still don't think
it's really impressive. I've seen
worst loss in program history thrown around a couple times. Go back and look. Miami's got some stank losses in there. I don't have to go back that far to find one that I think is much, much worse. In the finale, now that you say, oh, this is in Marlins Park where the Orange Bowl was. Do you happen to recall the last game played in the Orange Bowl?
48-0.
In 2007 versus UVA. You let Al Groh pull you by the nose to the woodshed and give you a beating of a lifetime and then demolish the woodshed.
I'll go grabbing you by the throat. I'm the cocaine cowboy now.
And then
the grocaine cowboy.
God damn it.
As the final buzzer sounded on the last game in the history of the Orange Bowl, a big banner unfurls saying, goodbye, Orange Bowl. Thanks for the memories. Something along those lines.
Yeah, that to me is worse than, you know, a kind of a very disappointing
that
and unfortunate.
Worse, but this is definitely funnier.
It's bad.
I mean, this is bottom three. Gotta be.
This is really I don't know. Like, I agree. Really? Maybe in terms of like Miami's season was basically already done, but it's very funny, man.
Yeah,
it's very fucking
funny.
I worry
that we're missing the joy by rushing to rank this when we could just be marinating.
It is it is delightful, especially because FIU's kicker got them some of those points by hitting bombs, Jack. How bad is it when you're like, I can't believe FIU's kicker is putting up 47 yarders on us? You go ahead and throat slash after that extra point, son.
It's especially good because what can Miami, like, if this happens to any other school, literally any, you can say like, oh, classless, blah blah blah. Miami can never say that.
No.
Miami can never be like, that's really inappropriate how you acted at this football game.
The only team Miami can call classless is UNC.
there is one other one, by the way, which the Gator flop, if you'll remember that. The Gator flop, which was John Reeves needing 300 or so passing yards to break what was the passing record at the time in 1971. And it was 45-8, which was pretty bad. But remember that Florida players, in order to get the ball back, fell on the ground. Like, they all just fell on the ground on defense to get the ball back, let Miami score, and then give John Reeves the record. So that's like top five for Miami there in terms of absolutely heinous, hideous losses.
On the plus side, if they want to make a coaching change, admittedly, it'd be, you know, it'd be a quick plug to pull, but Greg Schiano remains available.
really? I thought Rutgers had him locked up.
As of Sunday night at 10:45 anyway.
I was told he left the New England Patriots for the Rutgers job. Is that not the case?
So it turns out, and this is like, all right, everybody get close. This is like advanced business.
It's kidding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, you'll never hear anyone else.
I thought you if meant you like, tell somebody, I thought this was like campfire story. Like, ooh, spooky
shit. It's a little bit
that
too.
Rutgers.
If you're trying to negotiate with somebody for a multi-million-dollar position, and you basically let them know that there is no plan B, that there is no competition, they will just come at you hard and demand whatever they want because you've told them you have all the leverage in this relationship.
Like if you threaten to keep Nunzio Campanile?
I don't even think they know how to do that at this point. Right. Like, I'm a little worried that at this point, Rutgers may just be like, well, we have no coach. We're going to kind of figure it out week by week as we go. We have some fun student promotions where we're going to let students coach quarter by quarter next year. I think it's going to be kind of like when a football team's like, we don't have kickers. We don't have any kickers on the roster, so we're doing an open tryout. They're going to do that, but for New Jersey high school football coaches.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be their worst idea.
No.
Twitch plays so. Rutgers. Twitch plays Rutgers football.
Basically, so what? They offer Greg Schiano 8 years of Rutgers employment, but it was the pot was not sweet enough for Coach Schiano's liking, who wanted so much more. And yeah, they're done. Apparently, this is not gonna happen.
I think this
Butch
all
Jones. It is.
I think this all fell apart due to one demand that nobody could meet, which was to create a flattering sandwich name for Greg, and they couldn't do one, right? They had the grease truck guy in there. They're like, yeah, we're going to have to, you have to make a sandwich after Coach Schiano here. And they're like, okay, I got it. How about Bad Dick Greg? I'm like, what? yeah, I'll tell you. It's two slices of wheat and then like some really weird looking ham. And
why
then we
call him Bad Dick Greg.
No, it's just the name thing. It's what the guy.
It's funny. It's funny. A funny name.
Because you gotta say it to order the sandwich. It's got a half cooked waffle on it. It's got an entire salami.
It's got a load of MRSA mayonnaise on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Then you put half an old flip phone on there. What? Yeah. It's for the crunch.
You don't like a salad.
And Greg's like, could you name it? Could you name it something? Could you name it something, you know, more professional or flattering to me?
Okay,
I got one for you.
Puke Dick. It's the Puke Dick Shiano.
Oh, I gotcha. Huge Dick Greg.
Why
still
do they keep calling him Puke Dick?
I love that everything that crunches is a vegetable.
Yeah. Old Seven Dick Shiano, the sandwich. You ready?
So there I was, chewing on some glass, because I needed my veggies.
So now in our canon, I think everybody who lives in New Jersey is a goat?
Yes. It's amazing. I take sweet garbage and turn it into the milk of goat kindness.